بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. The chapter on باب ما يحذر من زهرة الدنيا والتنافس فيها, the warning regarding worldly pleasures, amusements, and competing with each other in it, from كتاب الرقاق of Imam Sahih al-Bukhari. So this is the hadith, the section in which Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is warning us from having a burning desire to compete with one another when it comes to gaining of material things. And there's a word in the Quran, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Mutaffifun, He says that with regards to this, yani with regards to the actions of the Akhirah, with regards to deen, this is with those who have a desire to compete should compete in. This is where, you know, a person should try to truly push himself in competing with one another is in the matters of deen. That subhanAllah, he's doing so much, he ain't good for him. No, if he's doing it, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to, inshallah, do beyond that. He is now, on the day of judgment, how am I going to show my face to Allah when he is in my era, in my day and age, in my community, in my job, similar job, and yet with all of that, he is doing something like this. How is it possible that I can just give an excuse that I don't have time when someone in my same position is doing so much? So I need to do that as well. That's what the spirit of competition is. Right? So the idea is competition is good. That alhamdulillah, the spirit of competition, but it has to be used in the right place. And in that competition, the goal is not for us to be ahead of somebody in the dunya, to say, he has two sons, hafiz, I want to have three. He donated 1,000, I have to donate 2,000. So that people can see it. Obviously, then that reward is of no good. There is no reward for that. That's show, ostentation. Instead, the desire should be that I want to be able to compete with him in the Akhirah. Notice Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, how much they competed. And Umar radiallahu anhu competing with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I need to get that first place. I need to get that first place. He talks about it. But it was in the battle of, it was the night of Hijrah, which he said, which was a big turning point, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu surpassed. And Tabuk, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought everything. And Umar radiallahu anhu brought half, right? Half of everything. Meaning half of what, that's what, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what did you leave behind? He said, I left behind Allah and His Rasul. That's what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, I brought half of it. So that's where Umar radiallahu anhu said, that day it became very apparent to me that I am not going to win this competition. SubhanAllah. It's just amazing, right? That no matter how motivated and strong will you are, there's always, mashallah, Allah has created this dunya such that there's people who have even greater capabilities. People in the Olympics, nowadays Olympics happening, so much competition for certain sports, small, tiny, large, whatever, well-known, not so well-known sports. But that same spirit of the competition, imagine for the Akhirah. If we create a mahol, an environment here, where everyone is saying that, subhanAllah, he's reading till Ishraq, I'm going to read till after that. If he's reading till he's doing his awabin, look, he did 15 minutes awabin, I'm going to do 20 minutes awabin after Maghrib. That's it. We already have it within us, that desire for competition. We just have to change the direction of it. Like, for example, anger. Anger is not necessarily a bad thing. It has to simply be channeled in the right place. Anger for our own selves, anger for our own desires, anger for our own name, fame, those, you know, our own property, that's not good. But if anger is there for the deen, anger is for the deen, a person is upset, but just treat the deen as though it's your own personal home. Someone were to come and take a rock and break your window, are you going to say, don't get angry? Similarly, if someone is misrepresenting the deen, changing the deen, then why is that not going to create a certain level of anger within a person who has ghairah? If we have ghairah for deen, then we will feel upset when something happens that is contradictory to what Allah and His Rasul want. ye cheez hai. This is how we can test ourselves. When you see pictures, videos, or things of people doing things which are contrary to the deen, ask yourselves, how does it affect my heart? How does it affect my heart? How does it make me feel? If we look at it and go back to sleep or move on with our next thing, that is very sad. The least level is when you and I see the disobedience of Allah and the disobedience of the Prophet ﷺ, our heart must ache. Just like when we see innocent people's bloodshed, you'd say you're a psychopath if you look at that and you don't feel affected. How could you not get affected when you see something, oppression happening? You could, even if you see a cat run over, astaghfirullah. I'm just giving an example, right? You see, if you have a human heart, you'll feel the pain for it. Even if you didn't, but you see it, it's got to affect you. Like, well, it's so sad. It's a loss of life. Just like that, when there's a loss of deen, we have to feel the pain. That's the least level, my brothers and sisters. If we don't feel anger, pain, sadness when we see this type of things, then that means we have actually completely lost it. Somebody go. These kids, can somebody go play downstairs? I can't, you know, go outside. Then go outside and play. Tell them go, or side hall. The brothers, go play somewhere else. Very disturbing her. So now we talk about the competition, the desire for competition has to be in the matters of deen. Let's read the hadith. حدثنا إسماعيل بن عبد الله قال حدثني إسماعيل بن راهيم بن عقبة عن موسى بن عقبة قال ابن شهاب حدثني عروة بن زبير أن المسور بن مخرمة أخبره أن عمر بن عوف هو حليف لبني عامر بن لؤي كان شهد بدرا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبره أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث أبا عبيدة بن الجراح إلى البحرين يأتي بجزيتها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent أبو عبيدة بن الجراح رضي الله عنه to bring his jizya. وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو صالح أهل البحرين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had made a pact with the people of Bahrain. وأمر عليهم العلاء بن الحضرمي. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had made علاء الحضرمي رضي الله عنه the collector of the jizya from them. فقدم أبو عبيدة بمال من البحرين. أبو عبيدة رضي الله عنه collected the jizya from Bahrain and brought it to Medina. فسمعت الأنصار بقدومه. The Ansar heard that Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah is coming with the jizya. فوافته صلاة الصبح مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He ended up arriving in Medina. They joined at Fajr Salah with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم leading. Imagine how we come for Fajr here or our local masjid, and the Imam is leading, and such a nice feeling. You know, coming for Fajr. Now imagine you enter the Masjid al-Nabawi and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is leading. Allahu Akbar. How that must be, the scene of that. Already, Fajr Salah is Mashhuda, mentioned in the Quran. Fajr Salah is the Salah in which the angels are present in huge numbers. The night shift is ending and the day shift is starting. So both of the angels, they are there present in Fajr. So he prayed with Rasulullah Sallam Fajr. فَلَمَّا انصَرَفَ تَعَرُّضُ لَهُ. Okay. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished his Fajr Salah, completed it, the Ansar came to him. فَتَبَسَّمَا حِينَ رَآهُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ smiled when he saw them. Why are all of you coming to speak to me? He knew what was going on. وَقَالَ أَظُنُّكُمْ سَمِعْتُمْ بِقُدُوبِ أَبِي عُبَيْدَةَ. I think you all heard that Abu Ubaidah came from Bahrain with, you know, a little bit more than cookies, you know. He's got some good stuff. Some gold, silver, and gems and rubies, and Allahu a'lam what he's bringing from there. وَنُّ جَاءَ بِشَيْءٍ. And he brought something. قَالُوا أَجَلْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, yes, exactly, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That's why we came to speak to you a little bit after Fajr here, you know. قَالَ أَفَأَبْشِرُوا. Be happy. وَأَمِلُّوا مَا يَسُرُّكُمْ. Be happy and hope for what will please you. Yani hope that Allah will give you what will be pleasing to you. Inshallah khair, as we say. Hope that Allah will give you what pleases you. What is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling these people who have given until they got nothing left? They've given so much to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the deen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad barik wa sallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking at them and say, chalo, take it. All the money you've given, you can replace it now. You can replenish it. Allah says, "Man jaa bil hasana falahu ashra amthaliha." MashaAllah, you gave in Badr, you gave in Uhud, you gave in Tabuk, you gave in Ahzab, you gave in Fatah Makkah, you gave in Hudaybiyah. Here, take back. This is your return in the investment in the dunya. Aa gaya, it's here. Let me give it to you. And this is, you know how quickly we look at the abundance of wealth when it comes into our homes as barakah. Say yeah. Alhamdulillah. How are things going? But Allah, mashallah, Allah is just pleased with me. Really? Mashallah, how? I just got a promotion, extra 50K a year. Right? My stock that I was betting on, mashallah, is doing well. So abundance of wealth, immediately we have a tendency to translate that into Allah's pleasure. Things are going well. Halat acche hain. Ab dekha, aap kisi se poochein. But guess, how are halat? How are conditions at home? If financially he's doing well, he said, alhamdulillah. Doing very well. Agarche, he has not prayed Fajr for 1 month. He hasn't picked up the Mushaf in 2 months. You know, but none of his kids pray or fast. Alhamdulillah, things are good. And on the other hand, a person who's got, alhamdulillah, everything happening in house in terms of deen, sunnah, but Allah is testing them with financial difficulty. So a person, he may end up saying, bas poochho mat. Don't ask what type of situation I'm going through. So the actual halat, the actual situation is not the financial one as much as it is of our deen relationship. Is financial situation not important? Of course it is, but it's a secondary thing. The first thing is, what is our relationship in ta'alluq with Allah in terms of our a'mal? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he hears these people who gave and gave, and now they're saying, acha, you know the story when there was, yesterday we read it, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tulqu bi aydikum ila tahluka wa ahsinu inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. I think yesterday. Yeah, no, this is not yesterday, this is many days, second para. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not throw yourself into destruction. Yeah? So one time, years later, after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, a situation came about in one of the battles. Someone quoted this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not throw yourself into destruction. Apne aapko halakat pe na dalo bhai, take it easy. Ye kaha. So one sahabi, if I remember correctly, it was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, or it could have been someone else. He says, you are misquoting this hadith. This is not misquoting, you're misapplying the hadith. You're talking about too much, you're doing too much sacrifice. Allah says, do not throw yourself into destruction. He says, this is absolutely has nothing to do with that. It could be, it could be possible that don't throw yourself in destruction. Brother, you already gave 1,000, why give me another 1,000? You already went out for this sacrifice, why are you signing up for another commitment? Take it easy. He said, this is not the situation. The situation of this was that during the time of Rasulullah, when he was still alive amongst us, the Ahl Ansar of Medina, they kept on giving the Muhajirun and kept on supplying for all the expeditions. And they kept on, not to say the Muhajirun were accepting it, they were trying to. Here, take it, like that. The Muhajirun had the ghairah too. They said, no, we're not here for begging. We're not here to become a burden on you. So they try to take care of their own needs. But the Ansar opened up their doors, opened up their wallets, opened up everything to ensure that all of the expeditions are being taken care of. Huge sacrifices. Say yeah. So he said one of the years was 7th or 8th year of Hijri, that some of the Ansar said, yeah, you know, we've given and given and given and given. Now I think we need to Why are we always the ones doing it? Let's give opportunity to other people. So this year, we stay back and take care of our crops. Another group is leaving. We're always at the front line. Subhanallah, we have no time to tend to our own farms. Our farms are just going down the drain. Destroyed, because you have to harvest them at the right time. You have to plant them at the right time. All these things. So some of the Ansar thought, let us not participate in the expedition and keep spending, because we've, mashallah, have an amazing track record, non-stop 7-8 years. Let's take a back seat. Dusron ko mauka de. You heard this before? This is khatarnak jumla hai. Dusron ko mauka de. It's a very dangerous statement. Means give other people a chance. It sounds so sweet, but it's poison. Isko kehte hain kalimatu haqqin urida bihil batil, which means the statement is right, but your intention is evil. When you say give other people a chance, what it means? If there's food, if there's handouts, if there's luxury, yeah, give other people a chance. But why in the manner of sacrifice for deen would you ever want to say give other people a chance? If you have an opportunity, the only time we fight sometimes if you're in the second row to fight for the first row. Right? MashaAllah. Okay, alhamdulillah, fine. But there's a lot more places like this. And that is sacrificing for the deen. Who's going to vacuum the masjid? Why, brother, he's doing everything. No, you don't say, okay, I did it for 7 days, let me give others a chance. No, alhamdulillah, I'm not going to give this up. Right? If someone, you see, someone is doing it at Maghrib, say, you know what, I'm going to come before Maghrib. Someone is doing it before Fajr, inshallah, I'm going to come, stay back after Isha, quietly do it. That's competition. That's competition. That a person says, why should I stay behind? I don't want to be a loser. So this idea of dusron ko mauqa de, give other people a chance in the matters of sacrifice for deen, is shaitan. Shaitani waswasa. This is not a good statement. Don't say this, and don't let other people say this too. Correct them. Do you all follow what I'm saying? Because if you actually knew, if you actually were doing business with Allah, you would never say that. Because what you are, what reward, massive reward you're getting, why would you pass it on? But there are so many doors of khidmah. I'm doing this. I'll give you a mocha over there. You go there. I'm doing this. Huh? For example, one simple example of that is we have, alhamdulillah, organizations coming every day. Different masjids, madrasas, humanitarian organizations. Alhamdulillah, may Allah keep these doors open. You have a person who sits in front or in the back and the right. He raises his hand every day for any amount of money. He should never himself think that, how come I'm the only one raising my hand? Or I'm one of the only people in my area and where I'm sitting in the masjid. Let me give an opportunity to other people. My friend, all of us can raise our hand. Why does it mean that in order for him to raise my hand, I have to put my hand down? That's what I'm saying. We all should be raising our hand. It has nothing to do with the other person. Or all, if you don't raise your hand, give. But it should not be that someone, I will need to give an opportunity to other people. So this is something, honestly, like I love to gather these type of nurani waswasas. I call this nurani waswasa. You heard this word before? Nurani waswasa. You heard this? Kya maana iska? Nurani waswasa means it is a whisper of shaitan, but packaged like something beautiful, something good. So it's filth, but put in, you know, a nice, beautiful gift bag. That's what it is. So the shaitan, he comes in through a Trojan horse. And he says, like simple, like subhanAllah, there is the announcement made. Brother, after dhuhr, we need some help moving water bottles. Typical, oh, mashallah, I should do khidmat. So a person says, he goes to do khidmat, right after dhuhr namaz. What happened? But you can go to help move the water bottles, but pray your sunnah. Now he says, why should the old uncle do it? Let me do it. But in the meantime, he goes, and then after that, he sits in his car and he's gone. Kya hoga? Zohar chat sunnat. He forgot his dhuhr sunnah. That's called like a nurani waswasa. You had go ahead and help move the water bottles, but do it after you pray your sunnah, for example. So here, it sounds so good. We should be open-armed. We should support one another. We should help one another. We should give chance to one another. That's why I'm giving you a chance to do khidmah of the masjid that's asking for funds, or a madrasa that's asking for funds. Yeah? That's called nurani waswasa. So it happens to a lot of us. We probably, all of us, get some nurani waswasa somewhere or the other. Nurani waswasa, our mashayikh explain, is a whisper of shaitan presented in a beautiful package as though this is an act of ibadah and worship, when in reality it's actually depriving you of ibadah, depriving you of Allah's mercy. Alright, going back to this. The Ahl Medina said, Ya Rasulullah, we're here because we heard this money has come. So then the Prophet ﷺ, after smiling and congratulating them and saying nice things to them, he says, my dear Ansar, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرُ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ, I swear by Allah, I am not afraid of poverty for you. Actually, I didn't finish the وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِيَدِي مَنَ التَّهْلُكَ. He says, the Ansar said, we said, give others an opportunity. We've done enough right now. At that instance, this ayah was revealed. اپنے آپ کو ہلاکت میں مت ڈالو. Do not throw yourself into destruction. Meaning, after spending 8 years in a row or 7 years in a row, if this year you stay behind saying you've done a lot, what is Allah calling this? Destruction. SubhanAllah. Complete opposite mindset ho gaya hai ab. Say, nahi yaar, 3 years I've been doing it. Ab kya karna hai? What Allah is saying, if you do it consistently, the year you stop is the year of your downfall, the year of your destruction. Whatever you have started, never stop that. You can start new things, But do not stop what you have begun. Very important thing. When a door of khair Allah has opened, don't close it upon yourself. We might be closing a door of Jannah upon ourselves. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So that is the background of that verse. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exhorting them, saying, I'm not worried about poverty. I'm not afraid that you'll become poor. وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. What I am afraid is أَن تُبْسَطَ عَلَيْكُمُ الدُّنْيَا, that the worldly wealth will be given to you in abundance. I'm worried, O Ansar, that you'll become too wealthy. I'm worried that you'll become too what? Kabhi suna aapne? Have you heard of any dad worried about his kids becoming too rich? Huh? You heard this? You have? MashaAllah. This very mujhe mulaqat karaye aise walidain se. I'd love to meet such people. Right? Kehne yaar, I'm too worried ki mere beta jo hai bahut zyada maldar ho jayenge. Beti zyada maldar ho jayegi. This, that. It's a little bit tough to then control. We know, honestly, we're sitting here because we don't have that much money. Think about it. If any of us was here, a billionaire, koon masjid mein aata yaar? If you can anywhere, island hop, purchase your own island, purchase your own yacht, do whatever you want, every single day, honestly, I wouldn't be sitting here. Unless the rahmah of Allah comes. It's really hard. It's very hard. We are so hard. It's so difficult for us to come to the masjid. So difficult to sit in this halaqah. So difficult for us to take the time out. Not that we don't have time. It's just hard for our nafs. Imagine you have endless money. Endless. You can buy out anyone. You can sell anyone. You can do whatever you want. Imagine to follow the deen, how hard it would be. So alhamdulillah, we don't have that much level that, the you know, what Allah is testing certain individuals and the top 1%. Ye musibat hai. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Badiru bil amali sab'a. Hurry up and do good deeds. Hurry up and do good deeds. If you have a jazba and a desire to do it today, do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Hal tantadhirun? Kya inzar kar? What are you waiting for? Hal tantadhirun illa faqran munsiya? Are you waiting for such poverty? Today you have money. Are you waiting to become poor tomorrow? Munsiya, that will make you forget Allah. Because if you don't have roti to eat, like literally nothing, you're on the street, you live in a tent under a bridge, and your kids are crying. We have nothing, we haven't eaten. What are you going to do at that time? You're going to do tarawih? Right? You're going to try to go find some food. It's called faqran munsiya. Poverty that will make you forget Allah. Are you waiting for that? And then the next, immediately after that, oh, ghinan mutghiya. Or are you waiting to become so rich that it will make you absolutely disobedient to Allah? Sarkash. I'll go beyond all boundaries. Say, I don't need a God in my life when I have money. Press of a button, I have everything available for me. With all the money. Money can buy everything, kehte hain log. It's a lie, but this is what the people believe it. That's exactly why everyone's running towards that. That's why everyone's running towards that. So this hadith is telling us that you don't want poverty that will make you forget Allah, and you don't want that much wealth that will make you stand up against Allah. Both of them are challenging. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Ansar that I am not worried about that you all becoming poor. What I am worried is that Allah will open up, or the doors of dunya will open up upon you, and you'll become too rich. كَمَا بُسِدَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. The way the doors of dunya opened up on the prior nations and they became too rich. What did they happen? When wealth comes, you don't just become rich. No. It doesn't say, alhamdulillah, I got my million, I'm happy. No. He's got two, I need to get two. I need to get 2.5. He's got three, I need to get 3.5. That's the problem. If everyone would just stood say, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me this, let me stay content, that would be nice. But it's never like that. It's always the next big one. What's the next big milestone? What's the biggest next bet I can make? He said, فَتَنَافَسُهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُهَا. You will compete, munafasa. You will compete with one another in this wealth the way the previous nations did. And then now the abundance of wealth, what it will do? وَتُلْهِيَكُمْ كَمَا أَلْهَتْهُمْ. It will then divert you from akhirah, divert you from good as it diverted them. In one narration it is, فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. It will destroy you the way it destroyed them. So both, either it will destroy us, or actually it'll do both. Yani it will divert our attention, and it will also destroy us. So this jizya was given based on, in the Islamic teachings, that you don't want to become Muslim, no problem, but you're going to pay a tax. What is this tax? Tax is security. All your roads are taken care of. You don't have to fight in the army. We will fight for you. Think about that. You're not going to be asked to join the army. The Muslims will take care of your land. 100% non-Muslims living in the whole country, your churches are there, your stores are there, you have your own lifestyle living, but we are going to put our lives on the line to protect you. That's all it is. We're not going to force you to become Muslim. We're not going to force you to close down your church. We're not going to force down to close down anything. The purpose of this is, how are we going to pay the soldiers? How are we going to keep your roads? Just like you have in any other place. That's what that is. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave this, when that jizya came in, this is the, the advice that he gave to the Sahaba, to the people of Medina. And the take-home point on this one, there's so many take-home points. One is the fact that we have to also realize that the sunnah of Allah doesn't change. This is the sunnah. This is the usul. There's wealth without deen is the most destructive thing. Just, you know, a few days ago someone told me, man, subhanAllah, he's just talking about his financial issues, this, that, and he said just doing business with the family is the worst thing. You know, he's like, we had such good relationships, now everything's falling apart because we started doing business with one another. Dunya is like that. Wealth is like that. May Allah protect us. Houses get burned down. Houses get destroyed. People get killed. People get killed because of this regularly, every day, over money. So we need to understand that it's like chemotherapy. You know, it's a poison. It has some benefit, but it has to be given an appropriate amount by an appropriate doctor in an appropriate place to an appropriate person. Otherwise, it's poison. That's what it is. Dunya, as you can think of it like that, it's a chemo. You know? It has its benefits, for sure, if you follow the protocol. Otherwise, it will destroy you. When we understand that, then we will not blindly just ask for wealth for our kids and for ourselves. When we understand that what we're dealing with, it is a beneficial thing, along if the conditions are all met. May Allah protect us from the evil aspects of wealth. May Allah allow it. Most evil thing of this is for it, once it gets in your heart, it kills you. It kills you. It kills you. So ask Allah that He never allow this wealth to come, the love of this to come into our hearts, into the hearts of our spouses, into the hearts of our children, hearts of our siblings. May Allah allow us to always keep it far away from us. Use it, but far away from our own personal soul. And may Allah allow us to gain our akhirah through it, and not gain, subhanAllah, only the dunya through that. SubhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanAllah, bihamdi, shalla la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. InshaAllah, we can please head downstairs and join us for the dua.